I thought today, my gosh, what wonderful teaching of God's word that we've heard. I thought maybe it'd be nice for us just to listen to the recording of Joe's teaching last night. And we could have been done with it. But since Jerry was kind enough to ask me if I wanted to teach, and thank you, Jerry, we do have a few things to cover in God's word, all right? I do feel lighter, lighter spiritually. Frankly, I feel heavier physically. Being here in New Jersey, I've had pizza, I've had sandwiches, things I don't normally eat, but it's really been wonderful. Hebrews chapter 1. Please, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to look in God's word at be of good cheer. We're going to start in Hebrews chapter 1. Can any of you in this room see this?
Yes.
Can you see what it says on the top?
Yeah, title deed.
Title deed. Title deed. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11, 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And many of you know there's a literal according to usage of this verse, which is really tremendous. Now believing, both faith is believing, is the title deed to things prayed for, the evidence that they are yours before they are seen. And I have this title deed here. It says that I am the proud owner of a castle here. And now, having this title deed, I can prove that that castle is mine. If any of you have purchased property, what they do before you're allowed to purchase a property is they do this thing called a title search. And they want to make sure that that property doesn't belong to somebody else, or the property that you're selling doesn't belong to somebody else. And once they figure out that it is yours and you can sell it, then you can get this title deed. Well, the Bible says that believing is the title deed. Our believing, it's the evidence of things that we pray for, the promise of God, it's evidence before it's even seen. That's what believing is. Let's go to the second verse. For by it, it says, by it what? Believing. By it, the elders obtained a good report. They had a good report card. Because they believed God, they got straight A's. Through faith, through believing, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That is an awesome verse. One of the translations says, the visible has its origin in the invisible. And it said, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed. You guys who are parents, you know how you have to be careful about what you say because you're going to hear it later on by your kids? Liz babysits for a believer's child, children now, every once in a while. And their daughter spoke something to us at the table one day, and we looked at each other like, And I asked, where'd you hear that? And she said, Daddy. And I thought, well, that's what happens. But we have to be careful as parents, right? Well, what about God? What God says comes to pass. He has to be really careful about what he says. And God said, and it was. Believing is the title deed. Go to Romans, please. To Romans chapter 4. God created something out of nothing. Only God can do that. You know, I hear people say create all the time, and I cringe sometimes when people say we're creating the perfect environment for this or we're creating that. The only one who can create is God. He can take nothing and speak it into being something. Only God can do that. Romans 4, verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and call those things which be not as though they were. Well, how can God call things that be not as though they were? Well, simple answer is because he's God. Because he's God. So God can say something and it becomes. It wasn't before, but it becomes. You see, our believing in God's word can be that certain. We have a God who can speak things into being. And we can trust that the words that God speaks are going to come to pass. I remember years ago, Dr. Werwell once spoke of the things of God, the spiritual things, as a greater reality. Joe talked earlier about how we have the senses. We always are having a fight, the spirit versus the senses. Well, God's word, what God says, is a greater reality. It's the great reality. And God says things, they come to pass. So God can call things that aren't as though they were. He can refer to things in the future as if they were in the past, because as far as God is concerned, those things are going to come to pass. Well, let me ask you something. If we have God's word and he's spoken his word to us and we're certain what his word says, then we should be able to have that same confidence that if God said it, no matter what the senses tell us, no matter what time it is, the word is going to come to pass. That's the certainty that we can have on the things that God says. If you go to Psalms, please, Psalm 34, Psalm 34. Don't worry, we're going to get to be of good cheer really soon here. First, we have to have a little tribulation. Psalm 34. It'll feel good once we get to the good news. Psalm 34. You know, in 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, "Yea, all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. All that will live godly in Christ will suffer persecution." It's not a verse we use in witnessing very often, but it's true. That's the way it is in the world. Those that want to live godly, you're going to face some persecution. You're going to face some resistance. Look at this one in Psalm 34, verse 19. 34:19. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Can I get an amen?
Amen.
"Many are the afflictions of the righteous," but praise the Lord, the verse doesn't end there. It says, "But what?
The Lord
delivereth them out of them all." That's so awesome. See, God doesn't sugarcoat things. He doesn't try to make them sweeter than what they are. My dad, when I first got into God's word, he called what we were doing a Madison Avenue gospel. Madison Avenue, for those of you that are not from New York, is a street in New York where all of the big advertising agencies existed. You ever see that show Mad Men? That's Madison Avenue. And what he thought was, because everything that we said, everything we did was always so positive, he thought it was just some big, you know, PR hype, some public relations hype. But we're speaking what God's word says. That's the truth. The truth God says here is, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all." Now look, we are going to face tribulation in the world, but if we have God, then we can be absolutely certain that he'll deliver us out of those tribulations. John chapter 16, please. The Gospel of John. John 16. Jesus didn't sugarcoat things either. You ever see some of the sharp things that Jesus said? John chapter 16. Let's look at what he told the disciples. 16:33. "These things," verse 33, "I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have" what? Tribulation. You know what tribulation is? It's pressure. It's like squeezing, like in a vise. You know what a vise is? It holds things in place. You squeeze it until it's held in place. So he says, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have this pressure that's squeezing you, just trying to squeeze the life out of you. But first he said, you might have peace. In the world, you shall have tribulation. But I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. You're going to have tribulation, Tessa. It's going to happen. But I have overcome the world. Well, you know, if you have the one who's overcome the world, you can handle some tribulation, right? 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, we probably don't have to turn to it. We read it last night or the night before. You know what it says? Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's 1 John 4, 4. Please turn to Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. Mark, chapter 6. Jesus said, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He doesn't just say, don't worry, I have overcome the world. He says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. It's not just that you can believe and get by. You can be happy about it. You can be happy about it. And something we're going to see in these scriptures where this be of good cheer is used, many times he tells them to be happy about it even before the thing comes to pass. Sort of like God, who is able to say things that haven't even happened yet, and he can even talk about them in the past. Because if it's God's word, he knows it's going to come to pass. Mark 6. Oh, by the way, that be of good cheer, that be of good cheer, it means cheer up. It means rejoice. It means take heart. It means have confidence. Have confidence. Take heart. Cheer up. It's also rendered be of good comfort in the Bible. And in most situations, there's a problem. There's a problem. God's word is spoken. Somebody believes, and then there's deliverance. That's typically what we see. Not every time, but most of them. Mark 6 is one of those. Verse 6:45. And straightway, he constrained his disciples to get into the ship. Joe read with us the record of this that's in Matthew. I think it's chapter 14. Remember when Jesus had been on the shore, he had just fed 5,000 people with those fishes and those loaves of bread. Then Jesus went up into a mountain to pray, and then he sent the disciples off to the other side. Well, that's this same record here, but the one in Mark. He sent away the people, verse 46. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, that's evening time, nighttime, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing. I always wondered whether this is revelation that God showed him, or if it's talking about when he's taking a stroll by them later and he sees them rowing. But it says he saw them toiling in rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, the fourth watch, you know, is the very end part of the night, just before the morning. You know, it might be 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. It says, he cometh to them walking upon the sea. And this is the part that gets me. And would have passed by them. Now, just picture this. Here they are in this boat. These are fishermen, right? They know about the sea, right? They're in a boat. Here Jesus is walking by. And he would have just passed by, you know, hey, dudes, hey, Pete, how you doing, Tom? You know, he could have been doing that because he was just strolling on the sea. It says, but when he saw them, when they saw him walking on the sea, verse 49, they supposed it had been a ghost, a spirit, and they cried out. So instead of continuing on his journey and See you later, guys. See you on the shore there, Thomas. He says, he stopped. Verse 50, for they all saw him and were troubled. They were troubled. They saw Jesus Christ and they thought it was some kind of ghost, some kind of spirit, and they were troubled. The word troubled here is a word, they were disturbed or agitated. I don't know if they still, our washing machine isn't like what I used to remember washing machines like. They used to agitate, you know, you'd go this way and this way, and you'd hear the water go swish, swish, swish. You know, these new ones, I don't know, they scare the dirt out of it or something. They don't seem to do all that. But that's what this is, agitate. They were disturbed. They saw this thing and they were disturbed. But look at what Jesus says in verse 50. Immediately he talked with them. And this is what he said. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Three things. And he went up into them into the ship and the wind ceased. And they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure. And they wondered. All right. So they were pretty amazed at this. Why could they be of good cheer? Because Jesus Christ was there. They could be of good cheer because Jesus Christ, the one who overcame the world, that Jesus Christ was there with them. So they could be of good cheer. Well, you know what? That's the same for us. We get a little agitated sometimes in life. We get some pressure. You ever feel squeezed? We get pressured, but we have in us God in Christ, and he overcame the world. And it says we're overcomers of the world too, like we just talked about in 1 John chapter 4. What a record. See, the senses told them to be afraid, but the greater reality is the spiritual. And like Joe told us, we're always going to have that conflict between those two. So Jesus Christ said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. It's beautiful. If you have the one who overcome on your side, you can probably do fine. Not just do fine. You can be happy about it. He wants us to celebrate. I think we need as believers to celebrate victories a lot more. We get so sterilized or something, almost religious sometimes. If God's delivered you from something, shout about it. Do something. Be happy about it. And if God is going to do something for you, shout about it. Get excited about it. Whoopee! God's going to do something. Be of good cheer. Because it's going to come to pass if it's God's word. Be not afraid. It is I. So you can be of good cheer. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Here's another one. Jesus says, be of good cheer. And here's a dude that has a real need. Matthew chapter 9. Believing is the title deed. That's the proof. See, I have a castle. Here's the proof. I've got the title deed. Well, in reality, we have God's word, and our believing is the proof. It is the proof. So just believing is proof that that thing is going to come to pass, that promise. Isn't that awesome? So we can be of good cheer. Whoopee! Matthew 9, verse 2. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy. You'd think he would have been sick of the palsy. You know what palsy is? He is paralyzed. This is a paralytic man. He was lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, isn't that something? This guy is lying on a bed, and Jesus comes and said, son, be of good cheer. It's the first thing that he said to him. Isn't that funny? He said that first. Be of good cheer. And then he says, your sins are forgiven you. Verse 3. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why are you thinking evil in your hearts? Thinking evil. For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? You know, which is easier? I don't know. It seems like thy sins be forgiven thee is a little harder than arise and walk. But to me, it seems like it. But he said, it doesn't matter these whether I say this or I say that. The power of God is the thing that matters, right? He says, which is easier? And he had the authority to speak God's word. But verse 6, that you may know the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And what did he do? He arose. He arose. I guess he was pretty happy about it. And he departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. See, this paralytic man had a choice. He had a choice to either listen to what Jesus Christ said and believe the senses. I've been paralyzed for so many years. This is just the way it is. But Jesus Christ came along, somebody who had authority to speak God's word that has power. And what happened? The guy got healed. He got healed. He hadn't even received his deliverance yet, but Jesus said, cheer up. That's awesome. Matthew chapter 9, and let's go a little bit farther. Verse 19. Here in verse 19, it says, and Jesus arose and followed him. This was a man that had a need, and he wanted Jesus to come and heal somebody. And on his way to heal this person, somebody else ran into him, kind of almost literally. Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Verse 20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good cheer. Daughter, be of good comfort. Be of good cheer. Thy faith, thy believing hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Jesus told her why she was delivered. She was delivered because she believed. And how nice. She got this great deliverance. Let's go to the record of this in Luke, please. There's a few more details about this record in the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. This woman had been sick for 12 years with this same sickness. You'd think maybe she could have gotten a little discouraged, right? After being sick for 12 years. Well, it gives us a little more detail here in chapter 8. Look at verse 43. Luke 8:43. And the woman, having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. She spent all her living, all that she had, she spent on doctors to try to help her. You ever be in that situation where you have a need and you go to the doctor and they can't do anything about it? This woman did that, and she was sick for 12 years. You'd think that she believed in those doctors. I imagine she did. But those doctors didn't have the same power that Jesus Christ had. Verse 44. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. It stopped. And Jesus said, who touched me? And of course, the disciples there, when all denied, this is funny, right? Jesus said, who touched me? And everybody goes around him, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. I didn't touch you. I didn't touch you. They all denied. Then it says, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, dude, Jesus, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and you're saying, who touched me? He's in a crowd. Verse 46, Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that power, virtue, or power is gone out of me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And what did he say unto her? Daughter, be of good comfort, be of good cheer. Thy believing, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. You know, in a way, she stole her healing from him, right? Here he is walking along, all these people thronging him. I love a parade. You know, here they are. Everything's happening. This woman slides in down there and grabs his garment, and she steals her healing from him. But he noticed that power went out of him. It's really an interesting record, isn't it? It's really interesting. But he said to her, look, lady, your believing has made you whole. See, your attitude toward the word of God determines your spirituality. Your attitude towards the word of God. We could have the attitude of cheerfulness when we're believing God's word. We could get to the point of being excited about it before the thing even happens, because we know it's going to happen, because what God says comes to pass. We believe, and then great rejoicing. We should really revel in these things. She'd been sick for 12 years. I imagine around year, I don't know, 7, maybe, she started doubting herself. Maybe year 8, she gave up for a little while. But here she saw the opportunity. There was somebody who had the power of God. And what happened? This lady got healed. That's a real reason for rejoicing. See, we can celebrate now because we got the title deed. Mark chapter 10. I like this. Be of good cheer. Mark chapter 10. Now we get a blind man. Oh yeah, this is a fun one. Mark chapter 10. We're going to start in verse 46. 10:46. And they came to Jericho, and he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, you all know him, right? Sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. By the way, it says he began to cry out. This probably went on for a little while. Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus, son of David. Have mercy on me. Verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Shut up. Shut up. Stop. Stop. Quiet. Come on. That's Jesus. Leave him alone. That's what it says here. But he cried the more, a great deal. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 49. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And this is cool. All these guys that were telling this guy to shut up, when Jesus stood still and he said, bring that man, look what they said. They called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, for he calleth for thee. Isn't that also awesome? These people knew the power that Jesus Christ had. It just seemed to be the thing when people had a need that they came to Jesus Christ and they got their need met. Would be neat if people had that, if we had that reputation, wouldn't it? That people know if they see Megan, something's going to happen. Verse 50. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what do you want that I do to you? And isn't that also interesting? Isn't it obvious? But he asked him, what is it that I do to you? And he said, could you shine my shoes? No, he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus. Wow, how beautiful. Here's this guy. And Jesus said, these guys told him, you could cheer up. You could cheer up because you're with Jesus. You're with Jesus and he's got the power. Well, don't we have God in Christ in us? Yeah. People could cheer up when they're around us too. We could cheer up when we're around each other. Acts 23. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts 23. The Apostle Paul, you remember him. The Apostle Paul was in a little trouble by the time we get to Acts 23. He had been speaking God's word a little too much, and there were a lot of miracles that happened, and the religious leaders got upset with him. And here's what happens in 23. We're going to pick up the record in verse 7. He's called in front of this religious body, the leaders of the Judeans. Verse 7, and when he had so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there's no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. So here, even among the religious leaders, there was some division. They believed different things. Verse 9, and there arose a great cry, and the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel hath spoken to him, let us not fight against God. Verse 10, and when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, he's like the head of the police, all right? The chief captain, fearing lest Paul should be pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. They were just trying to save him from getting killed. Verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said what? Be of good cheer. Really? Here he is. He's here in the basement probably of the castle. In my castle, you know, the deed that I have. And here he is, a prisoner, actually, and the angel shows up and said, Paul, be happy, cheer up, take courage, be confident. Well, we're still in verse 11. For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. The angel told him, be of good cheer, cheer up. If you have God telling you, be of good cheer, you can be of good cheer because you know it's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. Maybe if we get a little more excited about the promises of God, we'll see more of them come to pass. Acts chapter 27. Paul continued on his long journey. After that, he was imprisoned. He ends up on a boat. And it wasn't pretty. This boat, he told them before they left the island of Crete, as they're on their way to Rome, he said, guys, we shouldn't leave this port. There's going to be a problem. The boat's going to get in trouble. And the jailer, the man that was in charge of the prisoners, believed the owner of the boat more than they believed the prisoner, Paul. So here it happens, verse 20. When neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, you know, like a hurricane. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Now, just think of Paul. Remember, we just read in chapter 23 how the angel said to him, Paul, cheer up, Paul, you're going to go to Rome, right? It wasn't looking that way. All hope that we could be saved was then taken away, it says. It's not so happy. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. Verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened to me and not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. You know, I told you so. Verse 22, little prisoner. He was a prisoner. And now I exhort you to what? They must have thought he was a lunatic. We're on a boat. No sun, no stars, wind, rain, waves. We're going to die. We're going to die. All hope. And here is this lunatic standing in front of us saying, be of good cheer, guys. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Verse 23. For This is why he could be of good cheer. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God. Believing is the title deed. He had the word of God. He had the promise from God. You're going to go before Caesar. So he could be of good cheer because I believe God. It's the title deed. It's going to happen. They're not all going to die. But I find this part really remarkable. Go down to verse 36. Then were all they of good cheer. And they also took meat. Isn't that awesome? Then they were of good cheer. Something. You know, when we speak God's word, we first have to believe that it should come to pass. But let's maybe expect somebody out there in that dark part of the world that we saw, maybe some of those people will believe too. And they can also be of good cheer because God's word comes to pass. This good cheer in this verse that we're reading, it's actually a different word in the original. And it means to be well-minded. It's the word for well or good, and the word minded, which honestly is a very interesting word. So well, and then this minded part is actually a word for passion, breathing violently. It's often translated wrath in the Bible. Now, you think good, wrath? Doesn't sound right. But here's what one lexicon says. You're going to love this. One of the definitions is the wine of passion, inflaming wine, which either drives the drinker mad or kills him with its deadly heat. That's the passion of this word. So, do you see it's not a passive word? Do you see that? You see that? Be well-minded. It's not a passive word like, oh, think good thoughts and butterflies. And no, it's not that kind of word. It's passion. It's passion. Be of good cheer. Be excited now that God's word is going to come to pass. That's this word, well-arranged. Reminds me of when I remember Mrs. Werrell once teaching. She said, you know, I think of my mind as my house, and I rearrange the furniture in my house, and that's how I rearrange the thoughts in my mind. It's kind of neat. You rearrange. It doesn't look good out there. Looks bad. But what do I do here? I rearrange the furniture, and I think spiritually instead of according to the senses. And what happens? Well, God does his thing. Well, the last one we're going to look at is in Acts 28. Acts chapter 28, verse 15. See, your attitude toward God's word determines your spirituality. This cheerful living should be our attitude towards life. It's not a Madison Avenue gospel. It's a gospel of the truth of God's word, and it's true. And we can speak God's word before it comes to pass, because if it is God's word and we believe, it will come to pass. I love this one, verse 28:15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns. So Paul was on his way, actually landed on the island of Italy. Is Italy an island? A peninsula of Italy. And they're going along the Appian Way, which exists even today. And they're on their way up, and here they go, and the believers are with him. And it says, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. And you know, I thought, when I first got into God's word, I just have very vivid memory. I'm sitting in a fellowship like this. I wasn't teaching. I was sitting there, though, and I was looking around, and I was with people that loved me. I was where God's word was being spoken, and where I knew the power of God was in manifestation. And I just remember having this euphoric feeling of overwhelming joy. That here I am in the greatest place, and here I have God and people that love God. Overwhelming joy. That's how we can live our life if we believe God's word. Overwhelming joy. Tribulation, it's going to come. Pressure, it's going to push on us. But with our believing, the title deed, guess what we can have? Overwhelming joy. It can be that great. So be of good cheer, my friends.